trust your word and promise, and I will trust you here right now, and I trust that you will finish what you started in me, God, and you'll never ever let me and the earth melts, and your majesty is above anyone else. You never shake nor destroy. No, you're not. Oh, 'cause you're my God. Majesties above anyone else. You never shake nor destroy. 'Cause you're my God, my strength, my joy. No, my God, he's a- the storm in the valley, when it feels like darkness all around me. My eyes are on you, my eyes are on you, God. My eyes are on you, my God, you're my refuge, Lord. My love, my refuge.
Let the fear of the Lord be established in the hearts of the people. Let the fear of the Lord come into this place. Let people know that they're standing on holy ground here, Lord. This is not something to be toyed with. This is not something to be played with. This is something that goes out through eternity. Out through eternities. Men's lives are in the balance here. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your warning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your words of instruction, Lord. Let us bow our knees to you, Lord. Let us humble our hearts to you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for your heavy weight and your heavy words, Lord.
Jesus. I receive the Lord.
I heard the Lord say that he is sending the fire, and when the fire comes, the flames will come. Yes.
And he said, are you ready for my purpose? Because this will be a holy place. God will make it holy, and you'll have to be able to stand when the time comes. I'm going to share a dream God gave me before we all joined together. Share it with Tommy. The Lord took me up into this house, and it was three stories high, which I understand represents heaven. And in this house, I had a sister on my right hand, and I had a sister on my left hand. Now, the representation of that was I was of the Father's house at the time, or Freedom House, and had two sisters. Mm-hmm. And my two sisters is into the light and meet me at the cross. And we were standing there looking out of a big window. And there was a fire that came. Now this fire didn't come until these two sisters was here. These two sisters had to be standing here for the fire to come. And we were looking out the window and there was a purging fire. I mean, it was like a raging fire. Like a fire that would go through California that destroys everything. Like a volcano. It was an eruption. And that fire came. But after the fire, there was like a tsunami of water that came. After the purging came, and after the fire came to wash away everything that was not like God, there was a flood that came of the Holy Spirit. He was going to release a tidal wave of the Holy Spirit. And it was a tidal wave. And there were people who were standing on the banks. You can't stand on the banks, people. You can't stand on the bank. Because those that were standing out here on the bank, they were destroyed. They were destroyed. But those who got in the middle of the river, those who committed,
yes.
Those who got in the depths of the river, the water carried them downstream.
Yes.
And that's what the Lord's saying. Don't stand on the riverbank. Be committed to this thing that is established.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't stand on the riverbank. Be in the middle of what he said. And he will not only carry this place for, but he'll carry each family for.
Yes.
You got lost loved ones.
Yes.
Get in the middle.
Yes.
Get involved. Get in the middle of what God does. And I declare each and every family member saved in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
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 Call them saved.
Yes.
Release the word of the Lord. Let it be established in this house.
Shoot. Thank you, Jesus. I receive that. Do you all receive that?
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. We receive it, Jesus. We receive your word, oh God. We receive your word, Lord. I also had a warning dream a few nights ago, and I had sent it to Tony and to Pastor Doyle, and I,
dream was, I knew it was from God because I was with the angel of the Lord. And we were getting ready to mount up and go out and do big and great things. We were mounting up and I'm like, I'm ready. And then all of a sudden we were out of that place and I looked and it was storming and it was lightning. And the heavens opened up and there was a white horse with wings like a Pegasus. And it was rearing up and it was going back and forth like it was trying to get out. And the Holy Ghost, the angel of the Lord, looked at me and he said, "It's wanting to kill you, but I'm holding it back." And I was like, what? And I was thinking and I was praying and I sent it to Dole and I said, Tyson, like, it's a warning. I know in my spirit for us, but I said, what? It was trying to kill me. It's like I seen the white horse and I was afraid, but it was a different type of fear that I'd ever felt before. It was strange. It was a holy type of fear. And I said, and I sent it to Dole. I said, I don't know what this white horse means, but it was ready to go and it was ready to be released out of the heavens, because when I looked up, it was storming and it was lightning coming out from around it. And he said, that white horse represents judgment. And as I was laying in bed, and he said, when you get a revelation, ask God what it means. And so I was praying, I was laying there, and I woke up this morning and God said, I thought, well, judgment on who? The church, the earth, who? And when I woke up this morning, God said it was judgment on you. He said, I was holding back judgment because of the impurities in my life. God's holding back judgment on us because of the impurities in our life. The white horse is his holiness. It's his judgment that's coming forth to bring forth that fire. We got to be purged of everything that's not like him out of our lives. And it's the small things. It's the things that we feed our soul. It's the things we watch on TV. It's our conversations that we're willing to laugh at. It's the things that we want to listen to. It's the things that we want to read. It's the people we want to hang out with. God said, that's the judgment I'm holding back from this church, because if he sent forth the judgment, it would kill us all. He said, these things have to be purged out of us. We want to go out, yes, but what do you have to offer them? You give them the love of Christ, but what reflection of Christ are you giving them? It's time for us to be purged. It's time for all the impurities to come out, because I'm telling you, the judgment horse is getting ready to come. Will he find us pure? Will he find us clean and spotless bride? This is the day that God said, I require holiness. I will no longer wink at your ignorance, but I require holiness. God said the judgment, if he sent it now, it would kill us. That's why his grace and his mercy is holding it back. But he said it's the small things. The Bible says the small foxes are what destroy the vine. Ask him to search your heart. What's the things that you say, oh, that's not no big deal. I can keep on doing that as long as I go to church, as long as I pray. Now that scripture that always said that those people stood before Jesus and they said, God, we prophesied in your name. We spoke in tongues. We raised the dead. And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. It's because you can do those things but still not have a pure reflection of Christ. God, we pray. We pray, God, purge us of everything that is not like you, God. Clean out of us everything. We place it on the altar, God. Burn it out of us, Lord. Burn it out of us, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
I'd just like to share, since some of the other people in the house have said that the Lord has given them a warning dream, I also brought that to Ron and Charisse the other day. The Lord was giving me a warning dream. And it wasn't on a corporate level, it was on a family level. So let me tell you, the enemy is coming. The enemy is mounting up against us. I'm not giving him glory, because we walk in an authority to where we can speak. In this dream, I spoke to what was coming against us. It didn't have to be any big show, but I knew who I was. And I knew what he could not do. In the dream, I also saw a tidal wave. I saw a tsunami. I was waiting on it. I was watching for it. In this dream, I was on the beach, and I was watching, and an earthquake had happened, and I was watching, waiting for, and bigger waves were coming, but as I watched, I knew that's not the one I'm looking for. And then suddenly, as I watched, way out in the water, a mist lifted. It was almost camouflage. If I hadn't been watching, I wouldn't have seen it. Please hear me. If I hadn't been watching, I would not have seen it. Another thing Ron brought to me was the little waves that were coming. They were bigger. They were getting bigger, but I was not distracted by those waves either. But when the mist lifted, then there was a city that was in the middle of the sea. And the tidal wave, the tsunami that I was waiting on, came and destroyed the city. And as the water came, thank you, Lord, for your authority, I spoke and said, you can come no further. You stop there. And the destruction did not come against my family. The destruction did not come on the shore with me. I looked with my eyes and I saw it, but it did not come near my dwelling. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hear me. We must be watching. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Watching. And the Lord is warning us. He's letting us know, look, this is what's coming. Be ready. Be prepared. Be holy. Know who you are. Know my authority that I've placed in you. Walk in that. Be not distracted. Keep watching. Be diligent. Father, we praise your holy name this morning. We bless you and we honor you for being a father who loves his children, who cares enough to warn us and to show us, Lord God. Father, we know troubles will come. We know battles will come, Father God. But through you, we have won, Lord God. We know we have the victory in you, Lord God. Father, let us all get a deeper revelation of who you are. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord.
Speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Hallelujah. About a year ago, matter of fact, the date was 1/15/17. Pastor Doyle and I were together, and we were coming from Florida, and I was getting on a plane, and the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, I'm getting ready to bring holiness back to my church. And at the time, I didn't really understand what God, I knew what God said, but I didn't understand what God was doing. And so as we came together and the prophecies of the Lord began to come forth, the Lord reminded me. He reminded me of that. Amen.
He said, I don't have a clue what to do. I think we need to do one more song. Let's do faithfulness. Let's tell him how faithful and how good he is this morning. You are faithful, Lord.
In the breakthrough, restore my faith. God, my rock, and God, my hope, you will prevail. You're the constant in a sea of change, and what you've done and what you said. are certain as the rising of the sun. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Always and forever. Always and forever. From age to
softly. You might be in this place this morning and you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you may have done that in the past and things just gone a wrong direction in your life and you moved away from Him. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning to commit your life afresh to Jesus Christ. Regardless of where you are in your life this morning, regardless of where you are in your life this morning, right where you are, I just want you to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that you died on the cross for my sins. I recognize that I have not been living my life for you. And I make a decision today to make you Lord of my life. I ask you now to come into my life. I acknowledge with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten God, and that He died for my sins, that He was resurrected, and I choose to put my trust and my confidence in Him. Now, Lord, I just pray for anyone in this room who has made a decision to surrender their life. Come on, that's the only thing you have to do is make a decision to surrender. Sometimes you do not know what the future holds. Sometimes things begin to unfold and evolve once you make that decision. But when you make that decision to say, hey, I'll surrender my life to you, and then you put your life in His hands, He has a way of causing other things to begin to happen in your life. So, Lord, we thank you right now for salvation in this room. We thank you for turnarounds. We thank you for newness of life coming into people in this room, Lord. If the children would come forward, please. Father, we thank you now for the children of this house. We declare over them that they are mighty in God. We thank you, Lord, that before they were formed in their mother's womb, you already chose them as a royal priesthood. We say they are a chosen generation. I say over you, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Father, we just ask for eyes to see, ears to hear. Lord, we ask for your anointing and your grace to rest upon the teachers. May the teachers of this house multiply just as the children are multiplying. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in them today. In Christ's name. I want to give you a chance to sow this morning. Your tithes and offerings. And anything else you want to sow, let me tell you, I made this announcement on Facebook. I want to do it now. If you want to help us with this, don't put it in this offering. Y'all can be dismissed. I'm sorry. You can be dismissed. But we don't want to, probably by the end of this week, they will be paving the parking lot in Brush Fork.
Hallelujah.
So, Jesus. That's an awesome thing. So we don't want to go into a nice new facility with nice carpet and shiny stuff and have old ratty seats that don't match the color of the carpet. So we're asking you, seats cost about $45 a piece with shipping. We're looking for some people that will sew. And somebody said, hey, I'll buy 10 seats. Well, if everybody bought 3 seats, 5 seats, 10 seats, it would be a done deal. So we've got 200 seats that we're getting. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to buy some seats, I'm sorry we can't put the little nameplate with your family that'll stay there forever on it. But we'll carry you forever in our heart if you do it. But we want to give you, I really want you to prayerfully consider that. And that's the reason I broke down to $45 and tell you how much it is a chair. How many chairs can you buy? How many chairs do you want to buy? But Father, we bless this tithe and offering now. Lord, we say that this house will lend and not borrow. Lord, that you will cause us to have more than enough, that we would send many to the nation. Lord, cause us to put many more roofs on places, Lord, in Haiti and other nations. Cause us, Lord, from this place in Bluefield to have an impact on the nations of the earth. We ask that you rebuke the devourer from every house and every home and every family. And
we ask you, Lord, to let every house walk in blessing. And we just bless you and we honor you for it, in Christ's name. Amen. You can pass those. May they fill up to capacity in Jesus' name.
We just want to thank everybody who volunteered for Vacation Bible School. If you gave money, if you volunteered your service or your time, can you stand up, please? We had more volunteers than we did had than we had kids, and so we just want to thank God for everybody who gave their time, everybody who gave, you know, money towards everything. We had more than enough. We had more than enough supplies. We had more than enough food. We had 7 babies give their life to Jesus on the last night. And so that's what it's all about. Again, like, you know, like we know, we've had the outreach part come in with the house. This was the very first Vacation Bible School. It was a total success, and so again, we just thank everybody, but most importantly, we just thank God for those 7 kids. Yeah. It was 7 of them. So if you're on the Father's House page or whatever, their pictures are on there. They got their adoption papers. You know, go check them out. Look at them. Their names are on there, and begin to just pray for them, because a lot of them, I think we had 3 or 4 from our own house here, give their life to the Lord. So just go. Look, get their names, begin to pray for them, intercede for them. A couple of them, 2 of them, I think, had to be out of their apartment by Tuesday. But they came and they gave their lives to the Lord. So just pray for that family. She has 2 that were in Yellowstone. So they were like pre-K kindergarten. And they're 2 babies, 1 and 2. So we want to lift her up. Her name is Ginger. The baby's grandparents are deceased, but she's stepping into place. So we want to pray for that family. And again, just continue to pray that the Lord will begin to just visit these kids that gave their lives to the Lord, you know, and to Holy Spirit would lead them and guide them, pull them, and keep them close to Him.
Hey guys, you all haven't seen me up here in a little while, and some of you probably have no idea what's going on. I'm the announcements girl, so everyone put your listening ears on. Have a couple of announcements today. Okay, so we had originally planned to have a youth and young adults meeting tonight, but it got canceled. It has to be rescheduled. So just letting you all know of that. Also, we have a Women of Purpose fellowship dinner tomorrow night at 6:30. So come out and fellowship, ladies. Have a good time. Also, don't forget the prayer calls on Tuesdays. It starts at 8 p.m. The access cards are in the back still if you need one. Also, excuse me, there's an Authentic Manhood meeting Monday, July 2nd at 6 p.m. Guys, come out for that. Also, we're starting up our outreach and street ministry, and the first meeting is going to be Saturday, July 7th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So if you all are interested in going out, I know that needs to be our focus every day, but if you're interested in doing it corporately together, then come out for that meeting, because that's going to be awesome. Also, don't forget, Fire in the Mountains is in Maryland. It's July 13th through 14th. We will be traveling there. The cost is $30, and contact Sean ASAP if you want to attend that trip. And also, we are still having work days at Brush Fork, you guys. The building needs still a lot of work. So I know we're busy with work and different things with our schedule, but we all really, really, really need to catch this vision and just push forth, because it needs to be done in excellence and very soon also. So anyways, just going to have prayer before we get in the Word. Hey Jesus, I just come to you today and I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, God, for just saturating us, God, with Holy Spirit, God. I just thank you for what you're doing, God. I just ask, oh God, that we would just begin to receive in our hearts what you have to say today. I just thank you for every single person sitting here today, and I thank you what you've put on each of our lives, God. We just want to glorify you, oh Jesus. So open our hearts, open our ears to receive what you have, God. I thank you and I praise you. Amen.
Amen. Let me just reiterate what she said about, to be honest with you, there's only been a few people helping at Brush Fork. Let me tell you, we need all your help for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And you can do it anytime you want to. If you want to do first shift, second shift, third shift, 24 hours a day, we'll make sure you can get in there. And we'll make sure you have something to do. So, you know, we know people have different schedules, work different schedules. But we'll make sure you get in there. But we need you. We need to get this done. Next 2 weeks will be very, very, very wide open and critical. And I wasn't paying any attention, but back in the back of the room, I just want us to give a hand. Justin back here, would you just wave a little bit? See, the Lord will sometimes send people to you to help you out when you need it. And Justin has done a lot of work down there. But let me tell you something really neat. God has a sense of humor. There's all kinds of good stuff going on around here. Amen. 15 years ago, it wasn't going on. So we got this idea we were going to start a church. We didn't see no adults. Somehow we got started ministering to kids. And Lord in heaven, they multiplied. All of a sudden, we had 35, 40 kids coming. Knives pulled out, ran out of the community center. I mean, it really multiplied. Fast. And guess what? Justin and his sister were one of the first kids that we ever ministered to in ministry. It's a fact. And 15 years later, Kevin says, somebody named Justin's working on a building. Well, I thought, because I'd ran into Justin before. I thought, surely not. But, you know, that God has a sense of humor. Now, Justin and his sister were always, they never caused us an ounce of trouble then. But we've never forgotten them. So it's pretty neat that God would use them when we're going into a very fruitful time of ministry to bless us. So I just want you to give him a hand, if you will, for what he's done for us. Well, I knew that this is what would begin to happen around here. If you noticed, I had a headset on earlier. Now I've done put it off because I ain't preaching. But I believe that as we grow this team, we'll just come in on a Sunday morning and all of a sudden we'll say, I feel like you got the word today. So that's what's getting ready to happen. When they began to mention about watching, well, Sean and I have been talking about watching and he's been studying it. And so I totally put him on the spot. So I hope there are some notes in that phone there somewhere. But I believe this. I have believed it for a while and considered going there myself. But I believe the Lord is restoring watchmen to the wall.
Yes, right.
Yes. It's what Jesus didn't say, pray.
Yes. Come on.
Well, now if you realize that or not, he didn't say pray. He said watch and pray.
Yes.
So I believe because of the word that's come forth this morning, he's making it clear, I'm raising up watchmen to be on the wall. And Gina said that clearly. So I believe you're going to hear more about this. I believe that we're going to see a watchman group arise in this house. And the thing about watching is, you know that the night is broken into watches. And of course, I also told you that we watched every Friday night from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. for years. I believe the Lord is restoring the watchmen. And it may be neat how he does that. We may have a group of people that take those watches during the night. Maybe they don't come together, but we know we've got people in this house praying from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. I don't know how he's going to do it. But Jesus didn't say to just pray. He said to watch and pray. And so I really think there's a grace on this. I've put Sean on the spot. I just believe that he's got some things we need to hear about watching. And I believe that you don't need to miss what God is saying. God is saying begin to watch. Because, you know, guess who the greatest watchman in the world is? Guess who the greatest watchman ever is?
the Lord. He who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. God is a watchman. You can find all kinds of scriptures, got a whole book on it in there, about watching. God is a watcher. So I believe that He is calling us to become watchmen with Him. And I believe that that will, over time, our goal has always been to cover 24 hours a day in prayer. But if nothing else, I believe that He was going to allow us in some capacity to cover those night watches. And it could just be teams raised up to cover certain hours of the night. But I believe this is a message from God. So put on your learning ears. Take notes. Understand that this is what God is saying. I'm calling watchmen. And guess what? All the people that you heard come up and share something, that's really what they're doing. They have a watchman's anointing. Watchmen warn. So that's what was going on this morning is watchmen were doing their job. Yes. They were sounding the alarm. And so God wants to raise that up at a higher level. Because you have to understand something. I believe the Lord has purposed this place for some great things.
Yes.
But the devil will not just go to sleep. So the more ground we take, the more we will need people watching to see where the enemy is having plans. So bless Sean as he comes, as I put him on the spot.
Thank you, man of God, for putting me on the spot. So I walked up here with what I thought was kind of a little of a prophetic thing, and he turns around and gives me that. And I was like, so when Dad asks you to do something, you do what Dad asks you to do, right? I got 14 different things I want to say, and so I want to go in order because I feel like I need to say some other things before I go into this teaching. Ladies, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but you are fulfilling, you know, Acts chapter 2 stuff. You're fulfilling Joel's prophecy, okay? And that's an indicator of what God is about to do, because He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and you are dreaming. I have said this a blue million times. You don't have to be a prophet to be a dreamer. And I'm not calling you guys non-prophets, but what I'm saying is you don't have to be a prophet to be a dreamer. And these dreams have come as warnings, as confirmation, and they have come in a prophetic way through a dream. Okay? And so I see Joel's prophecy. We see Joel's prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. This is what church was designed to be. It's not a one-man show, as you have already seen. It's about everybody that has their grace and their gifting being used in the house of God. We've heard many different voices up here this morning, and that's how it should be. And so we see our watchmen, watchwomen, however I'm, you know, politically correct, whatever. We see them arising right now in the name of Jesus. We said, Dole said he wasn't too used to being celebrated like he was last week. And there's a lot of things that I could say this morning, but here's somebody I want to follow. I want to follow somebody that will turn around and look at you and say, look, this is what you're supposed to do this morning. It's not about me getting up in front of the camera and speaking to the people this morning. I hope you can recognize that for what it is. Okay? It's called humility and it's called true leadership. Okay? Now, before I go into the ministry of the watchman, I want to share some things that I had originally come to Dole about that I felt like I was supposed to share to you guys concerning what God was saying through these watchmen. Okay? And I want you to, it may be a little bit dry with me sharing this, but we'll get into the meat of what God wants to say. But if you take notes, take notes. Not because I'm speaking, but if you take notes, take notes. And I want you to listen to this, okay? The world is going to be judged for its evil, but not until the church has been. We're good at pointing fingers. But don't worry about what's going to happen in Hollywood or Hollyweird or whatever John Boy and Billy call it. Don't be worried about what's going to happen in Hollyweird and all this stuff, because you better be worried about yourself. Because the reason the world is in the shape that it's in is because of us. And I know your age, I know, but you have to understand something. You're held responsible for it. Yeah. We learned in Killing Kryptonite that it's the one brings down the whole team. And this is an army. And so in the army, if one guy messes up, the whole platoon gets punished, right? Well, that's just a principle, okay? Popular saying goes, having a ship in the sea is fine, but when the sea gets in the ship, there's a problem. Okay? The church is presently being impacted more by the world than the reverse. We're inviting it in here, and we're trying to come up with ways to invite it in so they can still be like them and come into our churches, so they'll bring money and they'll come and we'll have full churches. And it really doesn't work that way. When we look at Peter preach in the book of Acts, he laid the blame of the crucifixion of Jesus on them. It's your fault. You who crucified Jesus. It was you. But because here's the thing. We can't get free until we take responsibility for our actions. Amen?
Yes.
A few more nuggets, okay? So if we remove the ungodly influence from the church, she will have more authority against ungodliness.
Yes.
Remove the ungodly influence, she'll have more authority against ungodliness. 1 Corinthians 5:12, Paul said, do we not judge those who are in the church first? I can promise you this is the type of evangelism that doesn't work, going out there and telling people they're sinners. But what we're actually called to do is look at one another and say, you're a sinner and your lifestyle's not adding up. And the reason that we're called hypocrites and nobody wants to follow us is they see us embracing sin. They see us embracing those that are out there at the nightclub or sleeping outside of marriage, whatever that may be. They see us embracing that, but condemning them.
Come on.
But Paul says we judge here first.
Yeah.
Okay? So when we approve of what God disapproves of, that's called unsanctified mercy. And so we're walking around the church just patting people. You know, it's okay. I know you messed up, but that's all right. No, here's the thing. That's unsanctified mercy. God will bring judgment on all of us if we continue to walk in unsanctified mercy. That means we approve of what God disapproves of. Are we good?
Yes.
So we can make our judgment easier by listening to his warnings, watchmen, and judge ourselves as we're instructed to do instead of having him judge us. It may seem tough when the word comes of, oh, that was hard, but let me promise you, it's easier to go ahead and hear what God's saying, make a judgment on yourself, and move forward from there than having him judge you.
That's right.
Oh, God, don't judge anymore. Okay, we're not getting into that. So is it, and I asked some young people this, is it easier to fall on the rock or have the rock fall on you? Come on. It ain't no fun falling on a rock. Ask Brandon. He did that Monday. Him and Logan both did. James 2:13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Right? The Lord would always rather show mercy. He would rather show mercy, but he's going to have a holy people.
Yeah.
Father's House International Church, he's going to have a holy people. He would always rather show mercy, but he's going to have a holy people, and he's going to get that however he needs to get it, right? If mercy doesn't bring us to repentance, his wrath will follow.
Yes.
God's love is not the sloppy agape that we've made it out to be. Come on. This is the theme of the whole, this is the theme of what God is saying.
Yes.
This is what God is saying this morning through the body.
Yes.
Okay? He spoke. All of it's been through the Spirit. Are we good?
Amen.
So what's the answer? We have to return back to our first love. Come on. We have to turn back to our first love and commitment. It's God. He has to, and I said this last week, he has to be our first love and commitment.
Amen.
In other words, he has to be our life. This has to be life. No, I just don't come to church on Sundays, and I might hit Wednesday night Bible study. This is a life. This is your life. Being with these people in this room, this is your life. These people are your life. Spending time with Jesus is your life. It's not just an afterthought. It's not just an afterthought. So those nuggets got me in trouble and got me up here today. Okay? He would have found me anyway. So now I want to talk to you about the ministry, the prophetic ministry of the Watchman. I told Dole this was so funny. He made me finish. I've been studying this for probably quite some time. And when I started to put the message together, I would, like, most of the time when I get, like, I don't know about you, I get excited when God's downloading something and revelation's coming, and I get excited, and I can't wait to teach that. But I have been fought tooth and nail over this one. A spirit, when I decide to do, it's like this spirit of apathy come over me. I don't want to do it. And I was doing it begrudgingly, yeah, you know. And yesterday, I got up, and it was just like, the Lord was like, finish that. I need you to put that together. I don't want to. No, you have to finish that. And now I see. I told Doyle, he made me finish this yesterday. And so now, you know, it makes sense. And so you got your thinking caps on. This is going to be some maybe a different way than you've seen me. This will probably be different than last week, okay? But that's okay. So, number one, watchmen are one of the basic aspects of prophetic ministry. Did you hear me? The watchman is one of the most basic aspects of prophetic ministry. And so, we see in the Old Testament, prophets were often called watchmen. They were often called watchmen. I don't know if Gabe wants to try to hang in here. I've got some scriptures. Sorry. Ezekiel 3:17, but you can look there. In Ezekiel 3:17, it says this, and I think most of this is New King James. Bishop Jackson would be happy with me again. It says, Son of man, I have made you a, what does everybody's Bible say in there? Watchman. Okay? He's speaking to Ezekiel here, and he says, I've made you a watchman. Now here's the thing. If you think about Ezekiel, I think of a prophet's prophet. Okay? Because there was a mystical side of Ezekiel, and he was a seer prophet, what they would say in the Old Testament. He was a seer or a chose prophet, and he saw things. But he was a true prophet. He was a man devoted to the presence of God. He was devoted to spending time with God. And to me, that's what makes a prophet. Yes. Amen. Not what he can say. He said, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Somebody say house.
House.
Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Hear a word from my mouth, the Lord said, and give them, in other words, speak what you hear me speak to you. That's the bane of prophetic ministry, right? And so what has happened with these dreams and what has happened through these encounters is God has spoke and he has instructed these individuals to speak how he has given revelation, right? And we know that in these last days, he said they would dream dreams and they would see visions and God would speak to them many different ways. So this is an indicator of where we're at. When we see a pouring out of the Spirit the way that is happening here, and it's so, I was back there in tears. Because, why? Because we're seeing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are seeing here what God has spoke about. We are witnessing that. And what has taken place is acts of humility to say, it's not, we really want to see you move, God. It doesn't matter who you move through. And here's the thing, he moves more powerfully when he moves through the body. Not just through what we call the head, but when he moves through the body. So if you just, you know, I don't know what Futurama, they've got all these heads. I seen years ago, I don't watch it anymore, but they got these heads, they've kept them and they're alive. You know? And it's like, hey, that's a good part of the body, the head, but that head could use a lot more parts to function properly. Right? Okay. So, hear this out. Well, I talked to these guys about this the other day. With the prophetic ministry being restored to the church, it's important to understand the function of the watchman. Okay? Now, some time ago, we saw the office of prophet being restored to the church in the way that it should. It had to be restored, and you've heard Ron teach this stuff, and then the office of apostle. Okay? But what you have to understand is it's always going to go through a knee-jerk reaction, and it's going to get over in the ditch. God always does this. Come on. You get over in the ditch, and then what do? You get back over on this side of the ditch. Come on. And then after you get on this side, then you kind of get back in the middle.
Yes.
I remember my wife said, you're too serious. So I stopped being serious, and I got funny, but I got too funny.
Yes.
Come on. And then she was like, you're kind of going over the line here. You know, you're pole vaulting over the line. You kind of need to get back in the middle here. Amen. So prophets were called watchmen because they functioned in the spirit realm the way watchmen did in the natural. Because in the Old Testament, we see literal watchmen. And so the prophets are called watchmen because this would do you good. Look and see how watchmen operated in the Bible. And so when what we see in the natural, we all know this, right? Everything that's in the spirit, there's a correlation for it in the natural, right? And vice versa. And so we know this. Now we're going to get into the meat of some things here. So they were stationed at posts on the walls for clear visibility. Oh, come on.
Amen.
They were stationed on the walls. They were put on their post on the walls for clear visibility. Now, we know that we talk about the prophetic and we think of seeing and we think of knowing. But when we think of visibility, we have to also know of clear sight, but also clear hearing. Clear sight and clear hearing. And I have told many people this, if you are in disarray, and whether that be that your walk with God is not good, or whether the enemy's come and has got you off track, whatever the influence may be that's causing you to be off course, the voice of the Lord and if you're a seer, what you see and what you hear is going to be tainted. The filter is going to be off on it. It's going to be distorted, so we have to know that. So they were placed so they could have clear visibility. It's important, okay? And so that's why the enemy does what he does, so you don't have clear vision and you don't hear the voice of the Lord right. Think about it. All right, so this clear visibility, number one. We're going to look at the natural and we're going to relate this to the spirit. So they could see the coming of the king. So that they could see the coming of the king and announce his coming. Let's start thinking spiritual after I start talking about this. They're stationed up there where they can see. Why? Because they're watching for the king. Come on. They're watching for the king.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And they want to announce his coming.
Glory to God.
Number two. They were also stationed there to see their enemies and for any disorder arising in the city or the camp. Come on. They were also stationed up there so that they could see the enemy and spot out any disorder, disarray within the city. I'll make more sense of this as I go. Number three, they were specially trained. Say trained.
Trained.
Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to speak out of terse. I don't want to speak out of turn. But here is the bane. This is the bane of the church. It's to train and equip. It's not to give you a feel good on Sunday morning. It's not so that you can come up here and repent of your sinful lifestyle when you're never going to get that right anyway. This is a training and equipping center. This is where we learn. This is where we're taught. Okay?
Amen.
So before you could be a watchman, you had to be trained. Okay? This is part of that. They were trained to distinguish between the enemy and their Israelite brethren. Come on. What do you mean? I may have said this last week, but here's what we have to know. We have to see people by the Spirit. I did say this last week. And not what is presented to us on the outside. Samuel, a very seasoned prophet, when he was sent to go find the next king of Israel, almost missed it because he was seeing what was presented. But the watchman can see past that. Because a lot of times, and especially nowadays, and I have seen it, I have seen Jezebel walk right in a service and worship with the best of them,
yes,
and speak the right jargon and got the Christianese down. But you had to know. You have to see in the Spirit.
Yes.
Come on.
Tell it.
I probably am not going to move as far as I would want to with this today. Amen.
Tell it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's our problem.
Come on. Tell it.
That's our problem.
Yes.
We can't tell the difference.
Come on.
From when a devil walks in our church.
Come on. Tell it.
Pretending to be an angel of light. Being an angel of light.
Hallelujah.
That's our problem.
Glory.
And I'm not saying being suspicious somebody comes to the door and, you know.
Yes.
You're watching.
Yes.
Yeah. There's old saying goes, you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves.
Yes.
I'm going to treat you the same right from the get-go, but once I figure some things out, that's going to change. And I can tell you this about this man in particular. He may not be saying it, but he knows it. And most prophetic people are that way anyway. They may not be saying it, but they know it. I act dumb good. That's Amy.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Number four. Only those with the best vision and judgment were given these posts. Only those that had the best vision. This is in the natural we're talking about now. Come on. You in the natural, you wouldn't want to put me up on a post. Why? Because I'm nearsighted. There's people said, I saw you, and I'm like, I didn't see you because I can't see off at a distance unless I have glasses on. Right? Or is that farsighted? Which is it? Is that farsighted? I'm farsighted. Excuse me. Yeah. So I don't see off at a distance. So you wouldn't put somebody that was farsighted up as a watchman. Why? Because they had to see. They had to have clear vision. Number five. I'm moving a little bit fast, but there's some information here that you need. They had to be accurate and not overly prone to sound the alarm. They had to be accurate and not overly prone to sound the alarm. Why is that? Because too many false alarms and the people would disregard them. Yeah. Too many false alarms and the people would disregard them. Right? Number six, they could not be careless and let an enemy in the gate. They could not walk in carelessness. And I think the word come forth this morning that was saying, hey, this is serious. And I tell the young people all the time, we treat our relationship with God like a football.
Come on.
We just kick it around. Your relationship with God is the most precious thing you've got. Number seven, before I move on, the ministry of watchmen will be fully restored when other ministries in the church are functioning efficiently. It will be fully restored when other ministries in the church are functioning efficiently. And the reason I believe that this word that Doyle has determined for this word to come forth is we are, here's the term I like to use, is we're running on all eight.
Yes.
We're running on all eight cylinders. And there's an efficiency that is coming out of this ministry, and because of that, we see supernaturally the ministry of the watchman come forth. The apostle and the prophet, the two foundational ministries working together.
Yes.
Teachers are teaching. Evangelists are evangelizing. Come on.
Amen. Speak it.
Yes. Pastors are pastoring.
Yes.
And so when that happens, God says, I can trust, I can allow what is needed to come fully. I'm prophesying to you. It can come fully. Because if not, it'll be in disarray, and I'll talk about that here soon, okay? Are we good so far this morning?
We're good.
All right. I want to talk to you now about the three watchman stations. Gabe, if you could put Revelation 21:2 up there. Revelation 21, verse 2. You guys can go ahead and go there. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Say city. Here we go again. New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so in this verse of Scripture, John sees a city, but what does he say that it actually is? It's the bride of Christ, right? What was he actually seeing? He was seeing the church, right?
Yes.
All right. So the city of God is a picture of the church.
Yes.
Right? The bride of the Lamb. The bride of the Lamb. The city of God is the church. Okay? So the watchman's role has to do with the church. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I'm watching for the world. You're not. You may be seeing some worldly things to warn the church, but you're not watching for the world. You're watching for the church. So that could mean one local congregation. So if the watchman's for the church, that could be number one, local congregation. Number two, church universal, the universal church. Bless you. Are we good? Can I move forward? So let's look at station number one. Number one, the walls. Okay? If we could go to Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 7, write these down. I'm telling you about watchman ministry, prophetic watchman ministry. Isaiah 62, 6 through 7. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Are y'all okay with that? We got things we want to cover. I have set watchmen on your... Who's there? I have set watchmen where? Old Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Oh, how that's powerful, isn't it? Just in itself, what it says. It's literally, that's it. So number one, they had elevated visibility. Here we go again. So they could see both inside and outside the city. That's important. They had an elevated position, so they're up on the wall. They could see outside. They could see inside the city. What's the city? Are we tracking? So a place of great vision to see inside and outside the church. Come on. This is a place of great vision. Number two, they were trained, here we go again, to recognize both the enemy and their brethren from a great distance. Here we have that again. Okay? Now, I'm about to hurt everybody's feelings. They had no authority to confront either. They had no authority to confront either. I could probably stop right there. Did you say mic drop? I thought he said, now he can do the mic drop. I was like, you want me to drop the mic and head on out? It was not their job, it was not their duty to confront either. There wasn't their job to confront the brethren, it wasn't their job to confront the enemy. Their job was to see and to recognize. Who do they, what do they do? I'm glad you asked. Number four, I'm going to make 4 points of each of these posts. Number four, they gave their info to the elders because they had authority to open the gates or sound the alarm. This is the natural here. I done said we got to follow spiritual with natural. They didn't have the authority. Watchmen, you don't have the authority to walk through this congregation and rebuke people or anything. You do have the right to go to the elders and share with them what you're seeing. But here's the beautiful thing. Everybody that got up, they said, we either went to Noel and Tony, or we went to Ron and Sharice.
Amen.
It's
true.
So I didn't even need to teach this part, did I? Y'all already had that down, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. So we got, what was station one? The walls, all right. Number two, inside the city. I don't know how long it would take. Song of Solomon 3:3. I'll give you guys a second to go there. Song of Solomon Song of Songs 3:3. Amen. Oh, beautiful. It says, the watchmen who go about the what?
City.
The city. The watchmen that go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? What was she saying here? Where's he at?
That's right.
Where's he at in the church? Where's he at? Who? Jesus. Amen. Number one, let's look at some characteristics of being placed in the city, being placed in the church. Are we good? They closely observe the activity within. Huh? They closely observe the activity where? Within. I know a few. I pick up on things, but I have people that will come and say, we got to break through this worship. What do you mean, you know? Feeling pretty good? No. You don't understand. There's something we got to break through. The worship where? The worship in the house. Don't you know that you got a warfare for worship? You got to set the stage for Him. You got to know from within what's going on. Who's messing around? What kind of spirit? Because here's the bottom line. We bring in all kinds of stuff sometimes. Other than Holy Spirit. We bring all kinds of spirits in. But true watchmen will pick right up on that. We're warring for worship. What did she say worship was? To kiss. What's the Song of Solomon right here, right? She's looking for her baby to honey to kiss, right? She's looking for him. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what this should be. This is what we're talking about here. We're talking about setting the stage so that He can come. And we're going to come against any force that's going to prevent from Him from showing up. We want Him in here. And so the watchmen, that's their bane. They live a lifestyle consecrated to Him. We love being with Him every day. But when we come into the city, we want to make sure that we can encounter Him as well. Number two, they're trained to make a way for the king or nobility. We're looking in the natural. They were trained to make a way. Come on. If they spotted, here comes the king, what do you think they were going to do? Get out of the way! Get out of the way! Get out of the way! The king's coming. Don't touch him. Don't mess with him. Check this out. If you don't write anything down, write this one down. They watch for movement of the king and they make a way for him. They watch for movement of the king and they make a way for him. Come on. That's the bane of prophetic ministry. We know what God wants to do. Do you know that prophetic people know the potential and a lot of times the untapped potential of every church service? Do you know that He wants... Sometimes we hit it and He just shows up big. Oh, yeah. You know, or we got... But we... This ministry has to be in place so that week in and week out, through a lifestyle of walking with Him, that we can make a way for the King. That we know when He's wanting to move, what He's wanting to do, and so we allow Him to move. We make way for Him. Does this kind of make a little bit more sense to you about prayer and intercession?
Yes.
And why prayer and intercession is the prophet's bane? It really should be the church's bane, prayer and intercession. But maybe we would approach a Sunday morning or any other time a little differently if we know that the responsibility lies on our shoulders to make intercession so that the King can come. Do you know why He don't come the way that He wants to come? It's because we don't make a way for Him. We don't make a way for Him.
Teach.
It's that's our job. He's just going to do this morning what He's going to do. No, He ain't. He's a gentleman, and He comes where He's welcome.
Yes.
I have been invited. I started this morning. I invite you in.
Yeah.
Welcome you, Lord. I welcome you. Well, I can't welcome him for you. We have to welcome him. Are we good? Are we good? Number three, they recognize and confront disorderly or unlawful behavior by their brethren. By who? Well, wait a second. What do you mean? We're talking about within the city. We're talking about a fortified city in particular in the Old Testament, to where only peacekeepers and only people that they loved and loved them were allowed in. This goes back to what was said earlier. They didn't let the world, they didn't let the outside just nonchalant.
No.
Come on.
No.
They didn't just let the world and just nonchalantly just traipse into their church services.
Come on.
And are into their city.
Yes.
And destroy what was going on the inside. Peace that was on the inside.
Yes.
Well, you mean we don't let sinners? Yes, we let sinners in, but we don't let sinners come in and determine and dictate how things are going to go. The enemy loves to sow discord among the
brethren.
And that's it. If you're a troublemaker, you're going to be addressed.
Yes. Glory to God.
So watchmen, if a troublemaker,
yes,
you see a troublemaker, you see behavior that is not fitting for what they're claiming it to be,
yes,
then you go to an elder and say, hey, I need to tell you about so-and-so. But what if you had a dream about someone? What if you just saw something? You had an impression about someone. You go to that. You still go to them. I've went to Dole and Tony, and I've went to Dole, and I said, "Look, I don't have a clear word from the Lord, but I did see this. I dreamed this." And so maybe it's their job to interpret what's being said by the Lord. Are we good? Come on. Come on. Number four. This is important. They could apprehend violators, but they could not imprison or impose sentences. That job was for the elders. What do you mean? Does that mean you walk up to somebody you see and you just put your arms around them? No. When we think about apprehending, okay? The first step of apprehending would be just to recognize.
Break it down. Yes. Break it
down. To recognize. And then I want to give you all a news flash this morning. And then they pray about it.
Yes.
We really act like prayer is an afterthought or a last ditch effort, or, you know, I've even seen some people, I prayed about that and it happened. What do you think about that? And I'm like, yeah, ain't that funny how that works that way? Isn't that funny how that works that way? But we're not talking about, but the apprehension is, I see. And now, I need to tell you what I saw. Now you can impose a sentence. Now you can imprison, whatever you need to do. But here's the thing. We act like we can't do this in the church. We got to be so user friendly. We got to be so PC, politically correct. We got to we can't do this in the church. And I said that at the start of this message. That's what's wrong with us. We're not calling spades spades. We got unsanctified mercy. Oh, you know, I mean, they'll get. And meanwhile, the enemy's using them to tear down what God's trying to build up. And that's the bane of the Watchman ministry.
Hallelujah.
And so the enemy can't tear down what God's trying to build right in the midst.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Are we good?
Good.
Number three. Third station. On the heels. On the heels. Now, I will share this for teaching purposes, but we need to know one and two more than we need to know number three.
Yeah.
Okay? But I believe there are some men and women here that this will apply to. If you will go to Jeremiah 31:6. For there shall be a day when the will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. Do we see some real prophetic symbols in here, don't we? Yes. Zion's referred to. Yeah. We see some real prophetic symbols here, don't we? And he said, what Jeremiah was saying, there's going to be some watchmen that's going to go up on the mount, and they're looking out from a different post than what these watchmen on the city walls or from within the city. They're looking for something. Listen, whatever you're called to do in the body of Christ, you are not less important or you are not more important than what anybody else is doing. Oh, I'm not a watchman to get on the hill and kind of look out for the nations. Listen, just function. Just be. Be what God has called you to be. There's no one in here any more important than the other. There's no function more important than the other, because can be considered a higher function and the other functions aren't working, then you ain't going to be doing what you need to be doing. It's not going to work. So let's look at four characteristics here. Number one, they patrolled borders and countrysides. I'm talking about the natural here. They controlled borders and countrysides. Okay? They would roam as scouts in the world to spot things like the rise of a new cult or a major persecution rising against the church. We saw our spies in the Old Testament, right? Who was a part of that? Joshua and Caleb. We know that Caleb was so much of a guy that was up on the mountain. When it come time, he went to Moses and said, Give me my mountain. It's mine. It's where I'm used to being stationed. That's a little prophetic nugget. That's where I'm used to being stationed. Give me my mountain. Give me my hill. This is mine. And so we see the difference of this sort of post. Okay? This post would be looking more for church universal than just the local assembly. But we're talking about also a ministry to where someone could go into a new area or region and God has sent them there to pick up on what is tearing down the local assembly. Why can't we advance past this? What is the attack on the young people here? Why is there an issue with women that can't get pregnant here? Why is there such an issue with drug addiction here?
Come on, tell it.
Well, this watchman will see. He will see. Number two, they could see the enemy or nobility long before they got to the city. Long before. Do you realize how powerful, if this ministry would really start to function properly, how powerful the church would be if we'd start recognizing our enemy a long way off until he gets right in our midst, and then we have to deal with it then? Because I can promise you, it's easier to deal with it out there than it is to deal with it within. Hallelujah. It's time to get on our post. It's time to start watching day and night. Let's don't get in the midst of a move of God and then start watching our enemy come in and thwart that. Let's keep him at bay. Okay. Number three, they could distinguish their countrymen from enemies or foreigners who came as traders or ambassadors. This is the natural function. They could distinguish their countrymen from enemies, okay, or foreigners who come as traders or ambassadors. In other words, there's some things we need to welcome in. There's some people we need to welcome in. There's some things we need to allow in our midst. But watch when I need you to tell me it's okay. I need you to tell me it's okay. Why? I said this last week. You're going to be surprised who's going to be by your side in battle and who's going to leave your side. And we need to know who those people are. We need to know. Number four, they have no authority to mobilize the army or let foreigners pass, but they communicate this to the elders who had authority. No authority to rally the troops. Do we see a common trend here with the ministry of the watchman? Do we see a common trend here? Okay. All right, I'm about to get ahead of myself. Never mind. I stop. Now, I want to talk to you about functions. I want to talk to you about functions. Function number one, watching and praying. Watching and praying. I want to be careful what I say here. I feel really strongly. Prayer and worship, watching and praying, intercession, regular prayer, watching and intercession. He told them to watch, but he taught them how to pray. Praying is watching. We watch while we pray. What function one, watching and praying. So when we look again at Isaiah 62, 6 through 7, it says their function was not only guarding but praying. Okay? Not only guarding but praying. Okay? Number one, this is crucial because most discernment comes in prayer. If you're one that just kind of stands back and just watches and you're like, yeah, I saw that. No, you're suspicious. Because most discernment comes in prayer, in intimacy with God. It's number two, in Ezekiel 3:17 it says, the watchman was to hear from the Lord and warn the people. And this is where many depart from their course. They began to look for the enemy more than they look for the Lord. It's easy to begin to look for the enemy more than you look for the Lord. Seek Him, He'll show you the enemy. Seek Him, He'll show you what's about to come against. You have to make sure, watchman, that's your bane, because the next thing you know, there's going to be a devil around every corner. You're going to be accusing leadership and everybody else. You're going to begin to bite the hand that feeds you.
Come on, tell it.
We should know our enemy. We really should. But if we find ourselves working on doctrines of devils more than we find ourselves getting to know Him, we're in trouble. Yes, we know our enemy. I want to know more about him than the enemy. Because here's the thing. We know everything there is to know about the enemy. We really do. And there's nothing new under the sun. He just does the same thing over and over. But the one who is hidden, the one whom we are veiled from, come on, the one whom we are veiled from is the one that we should desire to know. I cannot stress enough. Amen. When we do this, the vision and discernment gets distorted. When we do this, vision and discernment gets distorted. Come on. We have the wrong filter. We're seeing everything through the filter of devils. Number three, this ministry is spiritual. Come on. That is such a simple statement, but you better grab a hold of what was just said. This ministry is spiritual. It is spirit-led. It is spirit-taught. Everything comes from the Spirit. It will go past your natural thinking. I'm prophesying, your mind will have to catch up with what is happening in the Spirit. But make sure that's the way that it always comes. Don't try to think it in. Don't try to look around and say, this is what it is. Dreamers, you can't force dreams. Visionaries, you can't force visions. Watchmen, you can't force the ministry of watchmen. Body of Christ, we cannot strive for any ministry. We cannot strive to be any one particular thing. Either you are or you are not. Either you are or you are not. This is a place of true vision in the Spirit. And it's entered in through prayer and worship. You show me somebody that doesn't pray and worship and they say they're a watchman, I say there might be a potential for you to be a watchman, but you're not a watchman. You are not. If you are not intimate with the Lord, you are not a watchman.
Hallelujah.
That's a bold statement.
Yes, that's true.
And here's the problem we've got in the body right now is we're too worried about putting titles on people. And people are too worried about getting one put on them. Because I'm going to tell you, if somebody calls you a watchman and you ain't, you're going to be living a life of hell. There's going to be devils coming after you just because of the title. Just because somebody spoke it. Oh, watchman, we'll see. We'll see. Apostle, we'll see. Prophet, we'll see. Don't be worried about that stuff. This was taught so that we would know. It's more about function than titling. It's more about function. Are we good? Number four, prayer helps purify what we're seeing. Prayer helps purify what we're seeing. Check this out. Praying or these prayers can also quiet disorder and drive away the enemy without notifying the elders and or sounding the alarm. I saw, I know. Well, how about this? Pray, make it go away so that we can have peace and harmony and so we can make way for the King to show up every day.
Amen.
Think about that.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Prayer is the tool that keeps the enemy at bay, away, and it keeps him from being in our midst.
Yes.
Teach us how to pray. Well, here's the thing. When we pray, he has to stay away. Right? Come on. Here's the thing. One of the spirits that we learn so much about is the spirit of divination, and there's whole books on it, the spirit of Python.
Yes.
But here was the thing. When Paul was out on his missionary journeys, we know that there were great things that were happening, but Paul was a man of prayer, and so when that spirit showed up to begin to aggravate him like day and night, it was keeping him from a place of intimacy with the Lord. That's what Paul got upset at. He wasn't listening to you're a great man of God. He was like, I tell you what, I want to be intimate with the great one, and you're keeping me from that.
Yes.
And so that's what that spirit does. You have to know, every day you wake up, there is a force that wants to keep you from being intimate with God. And watch me, and if you're never praying, then that allows the enemy to come right in our midst. Well, I thought Noah was keeping them at bay. Well, listen, bro, what all you want him to do? I spent loads of time with the man, and he's a man of prayer, but what all do you want him to do? We've got this mindset where the shepherd's watching over the flock, right? But I also know if you look at how sheep are, they're wary of the enemy. They know when there is something present, they start to act funny. They know it. They know when danger's in the area. Well, how about this? How about letting the elders do their function and you keep sniffing out the danger? And when you sniff out the danger, how about you going to Dad, Father God, and praying and seeking Him out and saying, I want to make intercession for this. Now, God wants to keep the enemy at church. He'll keep the enemy away from the church when we talk to Him and tell Him to keep the enemy away from the church. Come on. Oh, does that make sense? These prayers do it before. You would be surprised at what you could do that you wouldn't have to waste His time with. And so, guess what? Guess what He could be doing while you're doing your job? Yeah, He can do His job. Not yours. Number five. The first principle of this ministry is not looking for the enemy, but being in communication with the Lord. The first principle of being a watchman is not looking for the enemy, but being in constant communication with the Lord. Yes. Say it two more times, don't say it. That's not your bane. Because we think, watchman, I'm looking. No, be in communication with the Lord. That is being a watchman. Yes. I'll give you some scripture references. Jeremiah 6:17. Isaiah 21, 5 through 10, and Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. We know those, don't we? All right, I want to continue on with another function. Knowing the times. The right thing at the wrong time, it's still a flub up. Knowing the times, right? You need me to repeat those? Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah 21, 5 through 10, and Jeremiah 6, 17. Chronicles 12, 32. I'm moving on. Here's another function. You know the times. Chronicles 12, 32. Of the sons of, say it, Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. Timing. They knew the times. They knew the timing. This was early on in prophetic ministry, this was where I missed it at. I just spewed everything I saw and heard out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd spew some of that to Doyle and I'd get. It's good, it's right, but it's at the wrong time.
Yes.
Number one. My oldest daughter, Brianna, has that look, so I've been mocking it for years, you know. Number one, we would do well to ask the same question Job asked in Job 24:1. Job 24:1. And this is what Job said. He said, since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know Him see not His days or His timing? Since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know Him, they don't see His timing? Why? Job was asking a very profound question. If you'll look at the rest of Job chapter 24, it reads like a commentary of the current condition of the body of Christ. I challenge you to read the rest of Job 24. It will parallel. Right? Number two, when we fail to see the timing of the Lord, even our spiritual boundaries become blurred. Come on. Number three, Psalm 74, 9. Psalm 74:9. I know, a lot of scripture, right? He says, we do not see our signs. There's no longer any prophet. Which could read, there's no longer any watchman. We don't know. Right? Nor is there any among us who knows how long. He wants his people to know. Isn't that beautiful? He wants us to know. Right? How about he wants us to know three things in particular? When he's going to move, when judgment is coming, and when the enemy will come. Concerning these things, I would not have you ignorant. Right? He wants us to know. Two very important functions. Prayer. Right? Watching and praying. Right? And the timing. I'm about to get to the end. Since we've touched on this, here's what I want to touch on now. The sphere of authority. We got to make this clear. You guys have to know. The sphere of authority. Number one, watchmen were not elders. I'm not saying an elder can't be a watchman. But if you're a watchman, it doesn't make you an elder. Number two, they did not have authority to open and close the gates. Number three, no authority to mobilize militia against the enemy. Number four, their job was to simply communicate what they saw to those who had authority. Their job was to simply communicate what they saw to those who had authority. Number five, when pastors or elders are doing this for their congregations, it distracts them from their calling. Number six, this is a word for the house. Number six, we must recognize, train, and position the watchman while establishing and maintaining clear lines of communication. We must recognize, train, and position the watchman while establishing and maintaining clear lines of communication. There's a reason why the enemy loves to attack your feelings towards your leadership. He wants you to distrust and dislike and not communicate. And I have to prophetically speak this, and I'm going to cover myself here. But when husbands and wives began to communicate with one another, we're going to see in this house clear communication from those that are called to be watchmen and to the leaders. Generations before us, baby boomers, it's a common thing for husband and wives to not really communicate. Not communicate feelings, not communicate what's going on with the family. I was raised that way. One of the hardest things for me is to communicate with her. Hear what I'm saying, please. I'm closing this out. Just give me a little bit. Are y'all okay with me still teaching this?
You're good.
Many leaders are both wary and weary. Many leaders are both wary and weary of those who claim to be watchmen. They are, one, fearful or suspicious people who have assumed this office and are not called to do so. You cannot be a watchman that walks in fear or suspicion. You will absolutely destroy what the Lord is trying to do here. You can't determine whether you're a watchman. The shepherd knows his sheep. If you ain't willing to trust in that process, that automatically disqualifies you. I'm going to touch on this here in a minute. So many who claim this position, number two, are actually called to it, but they use their gifts to usurp authority of elders and try to dictate policy or actions. I'm glad he's right there, man. I can preach on. Number three, trust is the bridge that makes a relationship possible. Trust is a bridge that makes a relationship possible. Until trust is established between the two, there will not be proper function. I want to give this example using my relationship with Dole. I think there was already a mutual respect just because, and I'm going to pull out some leadership on you guys, that Dole probably had for me, being an elder in ministry versus me, that he already had just a mutual respect, but because of my title. And so we began to build a relationship. And I came to Dole about different things, and you know, but I believe if I come to Dole about something now, he takes it more serious if I come to him about something. Why? Because we've built a trust. And I can promise you in the last year and a half, the enemy's done everything he can do to get us to not trust one another. But you have to trust. Don't let past hurts and difficulties keep you from trusting. Because if there's no trust, there's no relationship. And so, therefore, I trust this man with all my secrets and all my pearls, if you will. Do you understand? But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to try to build that trust. I'm going to use him for example, but that can be any of us leaders and elders. But if you go to him and he determines that's not something we're going to share, don't get offended. Don't soil your diapers.
I love it. Soil your diapers.
Don't stick your thumb in your mouth and start screaming and crying and sucking on it. And he don't like me. And you know it has no. It's never personal. It's not personal with this man. It's not personal with any leadership. Do you understand that?
Yes.
But there has to be trust built.
Yes.
There's a track record between he and I. There has to be a track record.
Yes.
And I promise you, one of the greatest attacks on some generations that are represented here is independence, independent orphan issues, and you tend not to go to people, you tend not to trust people, and here's the thing, you have a function in the body of Christ, but you're never going to get there until you start forming relationships. Four, many leaders are wounded and worn out from those presumed to be watchmen and prophets that they don't want anything to do with them. Okay? There's many leaders wounded and worn out from watchmen and prophets that aren't. And they don't want anything to do with it. Okay? Number five, the same is true of watchmen who have been wounded by pastors that they have lost trust for church leadership. So do we see what the enemy's done in the past? I don't trust you, you don't trust me. So we just ain't going to do nothing. Number six, pastors and elders will never be able to function on the level of authority. I'm talking about level of authority. They'll never be able to function on the level of authority they're called to until the watchmen are functioning properly. Do you want the eldership here to be all they can be? Number seven, every relationship is tested. The greater the test we endure, the stronger the relationship will be. Amy and Dole just fist pump. You heard about that last week. We are never going to disagree. I just want you to know that. We're always going to see eye to eye. Just as long as you see it how I see it. But we think that's never going to, we have a real problem in the body of Christ. As soon as one thing goes wrong in our relationships, we just dismiss. Missing prophecies does not make one a false prophet. That's heresy.
Yes. Come on. Teach it.
I could teach on that. Maybe. Number eight. Until these relationships are properly established, watchmen cannot function, and leaders will continue to be needlessly blindsided by the enemy. Leaders will needlessly be blindsided by the enemy continuously. We'll have to maybe watch that one. Until these relationships are properly established, watchmen cannot function, and leaders will continue to be needlessly, continually blindsided by the enemy. Think about that. Do we see the importance of what God was just wanting to say here? Paul says, and we're not going to go there for sake of time, in 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, this is what Paul said. He was careful to stay in his realm of authority. If it wasn't appointed to him, he stayed where he was at. Okay? When we fail to do so, we become vulnerable to the enemy. The attack on some people's lives is they're trying to walk in an authority or walk in a position or an office that they're not called to. And you are opening yourself up to the attack of the enemy. Are we communicating? Just one time, Amy. Real quickly, some practical applications. Here's some you want to get practical with it, right? Number one, we've already seen this. Various dreams and or visions sent to warn church leaders. Number two, place those with the discerning of spirits in the ushers and home group leaders. Great place to have them. All right? Again, not suspicious, but discerning of what the Lord is doing. Number three, hear me out. Place them in children's and youth ministries. Why? The enemy wants to destroy them because of what they're going to do. I could give you examples of that. Very practical. All right, I close. As watchmen become more mature and dependable, we'll seldom be needlessly blindsided by the enemy again. At times, we'll set ambushes for him. What a major impact on our effectiveness. Come on. For the last several centuries, there has not been many walk this earth that were able to ambush the enemy. Think about it. This is the importance of what's going on here. Number two, a huge burden can be lifted from the leadership of the church, but we must be patient as the watchmen are established. There has been a patience. There has been a waiting. And I know through communication, you have to let things establish. You have to let things evolve. You cannot force. There were so many times we were tempted to force some things. We are starting to see what we believed would happen a year and a half ago. I can speak for Doug, I can speak for myself, and we had to hear voices. Everybody's leaving. This one didn't stay. This one left. It's not working. It's not what God wanted. It says this wasn't God's design. You have to stay the course. You have to stay the course. Watchman, your primary goal must first be the endorsement of God, not men. Watchman, you must be devoted to truth, integrity, and submission to His Spirit. First Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? When you can produce a distinct sound, the church will hear you. I'm talking to you, watchman. When you can produce a distinct sound, the church will hear you. Don't try to force it. Now, don't try to convince me I'm contradicting myself, but hear me out. As a general rule, you do not bring correction. This is the elder's function. If you are prompted to do so, Matthew 18:15-7, go to the person in private. If it's in a congregation, go to the person in private over them. It's never wisdom to give an open rebuke in an assembly. Jesus and the woman at the well in John 4. He was wise and He was gentle with her, and she evangelized the whole city. If you're in a place of bringing correction, whenever you bring correction, remember this. You're correcting someone's children. Whose? Do you want to know when I really started to treat my wife differently? God spoke to me and said, "That's my daughter you're treating that way." I close with this statement. Old Testament prophets often brought correction harshly, but that was a reflection of their covenant, the law. We're now under grace and should reflect the covenant we're under. Come on. We're now under grace and that should reflect, we should reflect the covenant we're under. I close with Colossians 4:5-6. I want to read this to you and I close. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I believe the leadership of this ministry believes that God's doing a thing and is about to do a thing. That God's doing a thing and God is about to do a thing. The ministry of the watchman is an important ministry. But it's imperative that we know its function. We know the pitfalls. That we know how to walk this out. There's much more than what I shared this morning that could be brought forth about the ministry of the watchman. But I believe in my heart of hearts that as this ministry is being restored here, even in our midst, that my basketball coach used to say this, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I believe we'll have the ability to keep the main thing here, and that's Him. We don't need to waste our time looking for devils. We don't need to waste our time dealing with this issue and that issue. We really don't. That doesn't mean that problems aren't going to arise. But there is a function. There is a fitting together. It says that we are a spiritual house, we're lively stones to build a spiritual house. Well, if I pile up a bunch of stones, I can grab one from it anytime that I want to. But if that sucker cemented in, the foundation to build the house, and it's where it's supposed to be, I can't pull it out, can I? Properly fitted, properly joined together. I do a lot of mentoring and counseling, and here's the thing, and this has even been me as well. I struggle with identity and purpose. Well, once you know your identity and purpose, a lot of the voices that's coming your way, a lot of struggles that you're having, they just go away. Because I know that I know. And there's something about just knowing who I am and what I'm supposed to do. And it would do you well to sit down with your leadership and say, hey, you know, I need some mentoring. I need some counseling. I need some help with who I am and what I'm called to do. Because that's what your leadership does. The Father releases identity, speaks a name, releases identity. Come on. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. And the old expression, running around like a chicken with her head cut off? Because we don't know. Because we don't know. And so that's my take on the ministry of the watchman. If you're a watchman, figure it out. Some of you have already figured that out. Amen? Don't put God in a box of how He's going to reveal. Just let Him be. Just receive it. Just receive the revelation. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
I'm done, and I'm going to let Doyle close this out. And thank you for allowing me to speak to you today.
Love you.
I love it. I love you. I'm so excited to see when everybody starts to begin to figure out who they are and their function and what is going to happen.
Amen.
Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Amen. Shalom. Okay. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Doyle said just pray and let you go. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for every individual represented here, representing a family, Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Father, I release the fullness of the blessing. And Father, in the coming weeks, that identity and purpose began to be revealed to those who just aren't sure to what they're called to do. And so, Father, right now, I have to say this through leading of the Spirit. You are sending right now as we speak individuals that are coming to join the body, that are coming to join the family, that maybe a certain ministry or an aspect we are missing now, but they are coming to do what you have called them to do. They're not coming so that we can say that we have 300 people. They are coming so that we could say that we are in proper order, that we are functioning. We are like a well-oiled machine, that we are hitting on all 8 cylinders. And Father, it is my prayer that the watchmen get on their post, whether it's on the wall to look outside the city, whether it's to be in the city, or whether it's to be stationed on the hill, that the watchmen, that they get on their post and they have clear vision. We silence all distractions. We silence all spirits on the inside of them that are causing them to strive. We say, let striving cease and let them know that they know that they're not scared by a dream. They're not scared by an encounter. That they can rise up and stand and be who that you have called them to be, who you have graced them to be.
Yeah.
And so, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the Church Universal. I thank you that you made a way, Jesus, for us all. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.